Welcome back, leaders. I hope you're having a great day today, wherever you are in the world. Today kicks off our college tour episodes. So what I mean by that is we are going to be having conversations with faculty and staff from colleges and universities who are teaching, engaged in some sort of leadership program, leadership courses, like specific to leadership in academia. This is going to be really beneficial if you are looking to further leadership studies, if you're wanting to get more education specific in leadership. And if that's not you, this is really going to help you know what kinds of conversations are happening in academia surrounding leadership, or just give you some ideas to really enhance the skills that you are already growing in and learning in. So today's guest is Dar Mayweather. He teaches leadership studies at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. So I'm going to let him tell you all about himself, but I really am excited about this episode. I'm actually splitting this up. We're going to have two conversations with Dar because it was such a valuable conversation. So make sure you're subscribed so that you don't miss part two. Welcome to the Leadership School Podcast. I'm your host, leadership and self-care coach, Kyla Kofer. Here at the Leadership School, you'll hear leaders from around the world sharing their stories and expertise on how to lead with balance and integrity. Our goal? Teach you how to be an extraordinary leader. Dar, thanks so much for joining me on the Leadership School Podcast. Like this, we really just try and talk and have good conversations for anybody who's wanting to grow in their leadership, just for skills and learning things and to meet people and to connect with great people who are doing great leadership things and have those conversations. And the school that you teach at, I want to hear about that as well. This is season 3 of the podcast. Okay. And I've learned so much just from having these conversations with people all over the world. So I'm just really grateful to all my guests and to you for showing up and for being here. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Can you just jump in and tell our audience who you are, about yourself, and all the things, amazing things that you do?
I definitely don't want to read my bio here, but
we'll put that in the show notes, but you can give us the Cliff Notes version.
definitely. My name is Dar Mayweather. I am a faculty member at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I'm also a professional speaker. I speak on inclusive leadership. My goal is to help colleges and universities practice inclusive leadership strategies so that they can graduate and retain and help students from underrepresented communities and identities feel like they belong on campus. A little bit about me, I guess. So how did I get to leadership studies? Honestly, I was the student who went on a national search for jobs after graduation and didn't get a single interview. And that led me to realizing that my experiences within my academic career did not match my experiences in my professional or semi-professional career as a student. I had jobs all on campus, but I was a criminal justice major and I did no internships. I did no shadowing. I did no field experience. And so when I went to apply for jobs, I didn't get any interviews.
People were like, you don't know what you're doing. We're not hiring you.
Yeah. Right. What happened was I ended up having to call my mom and move into her basement after graduation.
Oh, which is fine, which is totally great. And so many people do that. But like, if you don't want to be there, it's a hard choice to make, you know?
I mean, I think moving into your mom's house with a plan is very different than moving into your mom's basement because your plan failed.
Yeah, that must have hurt.
That was definitely a humbling moment. And
are you still living in your mom's basement?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, nothing wrong with living in my mom's basement. It would definitely save me thousands a year.
Yeah.
I appreciate that my mom still owns her home and that we can go back to Michigan and be in that space. But
high five for parents, right? Who like take in their grown children. I mean, parents are incredible.
They are, right? And I just want to be a good one as well to my kids, right?
Yep. The goal. I'll take them in when they're 20, but they're going to be paying me rent.
I mean, contribute, right? That's all we want. And I think that's where my head was kind of at in those years when I was graduating college. All I wanted to do was just be a contributing member of society. But I wanted to do it doing something that I loved, something that I cared about, something I was passionate about. And so talking with a mentor he was like, listen, man, you've been doing student affairs, higher ed your whole entire college career. So I have 5-year experience working on college campuses in many roles. And so once I got into higher ed, my career flourished. I went from a hall director to a faculty member in about 10 years.
Wow. Okay. So tell us what you teach. You're a faculty member at University of North Carolina, right?
Yeah, University of North Carolina, Wilmington. I teach in a leadership studies minor. I'm the full-time faculty member in that minor.
Awesome. Okay. So you are the first interview guest conversation from a school in this podcast season. So can you be the one to explain what is a leadership studies minor or a major? Like, why study it in school?
You know, that's a really good question. I think one, a lot of people want leadership studies to be a major. And like many other majors, you go to be, you know, you go to chemistry, you want to be a chemist, or you want to teach chemistry in high school or something like that. You go for nursing, you want to be a nurse, pre-med, pre-law, you want to do those things, right? Leadership is so interdisciplinary that it applies to everything, every field, every genre, every step or action that we are pursuing as leaders. And so that's kind of the role and with the work that we do in our minor is we help students from every academic discipline see how they can truly show up in their unique, genuine skills, authentic skills that they have, and explain that to industry leaders so that they hire them after graduation, right? A lot of times what we know in this economy is that students, one, are expecting college to be job training, and it's not. Two, we recognize that students want to graduate and get good paying jobs, right?
Right.
And three, we recognize that on-the-job training is not really a thing anymore. There's expectations that you have a knowledge base and understanding of the work that you do and the contributions that you make to an organization before you get hired. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do as faculty members in a leadership studies minor is help our students say, this is what I bring to the field as a new professional. Mm-hmm. And so once you finish the minor in our core, in our, you know, full, you know, I guess, three semester, three core class package, you will have understand who you are as a leader, understand how you lead others, and then you will have created a project that you have led from start to finish that addresses a problem in your specific industry.
Oh, wow. So it's industry specific for like their major or whatever they're studying. But
we encourage that. We encourage that. But we do have students who are like, yo, like I noticed a problem with homelessness, and I'm not necessarily learning about nonprofit community management, but I'm passionate about homelessness. And so they do a project as it relates to homelessness. We have students who are very passionate about marine science. They do projects that relates to marine science. They might even have, we have students who are very passionate about social work, but not necessarily from a going on the community lens. They did a project on looking for and addressing free work as it relates to social work students getting internships. And so they were looking for paid opportunities for social work students to get internship credit. And so that was a problem that they were able to solve for the department of UNCW in the social work program.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So it's really like taking the educational, like the philosophical, and making it practical and showing people who they are and what they're capable of.
Well, it's all of that, right? Like leadership is a process. And that's the first thing that we teach students is that it's not a person, it's not a position, it's not a role, it's a process. And so if you're practicing leadership, that means that you have a process that engages people in influencing change. Right. And if you're a leader, that is what you want to do is change things. How people take that change or accept that change really speaks to the process that you created. Right. And so for us, we know that conflict is inevitable when you're a leader and you're practicing leadership, but your process really shows you how much conflict will happen based on what you put in your process of change.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So what are the specific courses that you teach?
I teach all of them. So
you do? Okay.
I teach, individual leadership, leading groups, and then leading the community. You know, I guess if you can put it into a framework, that would be kind of the framework of the three core classes in the leadership minor. And so I teach all of them every single semester. I have about 100 students a semester.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot of content in all those courses and a whole semester worth of content. So we can't obviously narrow all that down, but it's really, I love how you've broken that down, leading yourself and then leading a group and then just leading your community, because it just expands from that.
Well, it's based on a social change model, right? Like that's so less, I have no, dog in that fight. That is not my creation, right? Shout out to Dr. Comevez, right? Or Comevez, I think that's a doctor name. And, for coming up with the model and helping us kind of really understand how we can help students practice leadership from a practical lens, because it's not just about learning in the classroom. You got to get out there. You know, leadership is not done in the vacuum.
Oh my gosh. How many times have I said that in this podcast? I think we've said that like every episode. Leadership is not done in a vacuum. Life isn't done in a vacuum, right? You have human experiences. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Since you've listened this far, it tells me you're really enjoying the content. And I'm so, so grateful. I work really hard to bring you some awesome resources to help really enhance your leadership game. If you're liking this, can you pause really quickly? Make sure you're subscribed, but then also share with one person or more people who you think could really benefit from the content. My goal is to really bring this into some of the top podcasts on leadership in the world, and you can help get there and help us grow by sharing this with everyone you know. Thank you so much. I'm glad you're enjoying the episode. So, total side note, I just watched the name of the movie? I think it's Sully, about Captain Sully who landed the plane on the Hudson, starring Tom Hanks. Yeah, I don't remember if that was the name of the movie, but there was this scene where they were talking about how he could have not landed the plane in the Hudson. He could have gone to another airport because these other people can do it in a simulator. And he was like, yeah, but how many times did those people practice it before they landed it? How many times, how much seconds did they have? As soon as the engine went out, they made the turn to the airport. And he goes, if you want to make this human, make it human. You have to account for human error. You have to account for thought, for process, decision-making, all of those things. So I just thought that was that was the most powerful scene in the movie to me, where it just stood out. We're human. We have to account for that we are not perfect, that we have to make the decisions. We have to go through the processes. We have to do all of those things. And we always make the best decision we have with the information available to us. And what I'm hearing from you is that you are teaching students how to make those decisions and how to get the best information available to you, so that you can make decisions that make change and push things forward and lead in a positive way.
Yeah, and even taking it a step further, it's students recognizing how they uniquely make decisions, right? Because everybody's different. And so if we can take different approaches to leadership. Some folks are more trait focused, right? So they are more focused on what I can see and visualize as you being able to accomplish the goal or influence the objective, right? If I can't see it in you, then it's not something that I'm going to pursue from you, right? And so that's going to affect or impact students' decision-making when they're leading space, right? Or even faculty and staff, the same thing. Or comparative to a person who is more relationship-focused when it comes to their leadership, they want to help people belong. Right. And so helping people belong is a very different process when you are engaging in conversation, because I want to see what your interests are. I want to see what you care about, where you're strong at. Right. And so the conversation leads to us then deciding on how we influence the process. Right. Or how we influence the outcomes. And so for folks who are listening, I think I want to help all students know their approaches to leadership, right? And how that impacts their decision-making, both in their academics, but also in their extracurricular activity, whether managed as a job or a fraternity, sorority, student organization, right? We all are always leading. And so the more that we understand how we lead, and then also the more we understand leadership, we understand how others lead, we can impact the process even greater.
Oh my gosh. And so what this does too is it takes out any shame. So it's or comparison. It takes all that out. It's like, I'm not good enough because I'm not doing the way that person does it, or that person's so much better than me at this. Like, you're eliminating that because you're saying you are each doing this in your own unique way. And that's a great thing. So learn how you do it and use that and take it with you. And that just eliminates the need for comparing to other people, mm-hmm. for feeling bad. I mean, I wish I would have had this in college, because how many years and how much time have I spent going, oh my gosh, I'm just not good enough. And yeah. I'm not contributing the way that someone else does. So I'm wrong, which is not ever been true, but somehow I got that message in my head and believed it. And yep. you're just not allowing students to even get that message in their head, because you're saying where you are is great. Let's take it and go with that. And yep. and not have any need for shame about that, because it's just who you are. So how can you be successful within the parameters of who you already are?
Yeah, well, Kyla, they come into the classroom, into these leadership spaces, believing that they're not leaders.
Wow.
So it's already stuff that's in them that makes them mm-hmm. think, oh, well, I don't show up like so-and-so, or I don't do things like my coach or my teacher from high school that was my favorite, or like my mom or my dad or my older brother or sister or cousin that is amazing. And so I'm not a leader. And so I have to debunk that immediately, right? And saying, no, mm-hmm. you just don't lead like them. And that is okay, because you will suck at being them.
Right?
And that's the reality, you know what I'm saying? And I think when I show up authentically, it empowers my students to show up authentically. And I think my students get a very different experience from me. One, because I teach at a PWI, I'm a Black man. Lots come with that, right? I'm younger than most of the faculty members that they've had before, or even at the time. And so that makes for a different experience in the classroom as well. And I don't run away from that. And I expect them to allow me to be myself, so then I can allow them to be themselves.
Wow. Yeah. That's really powerful. I love that you're like, well, you can't be that other person, because you'll suck at that. You will.
I just tell them that this is the truth. this is, and like, there is a difference between going out and like being like the Kobe to Michael Jordan versus somebody who is not in that arena, doesn't care about the same things, doesn't have the same values, doesn't have the same goals. Like, that worked because those two individuals were going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I encourage my students, and I encourage anybody who's in here listening to this, right? If there's somebody that you want to be like, go try to be like them, right? Yeah. You can't be them, but they gave you a blueprint as to what it might take. And I think oftentimes I encourage my students to do this, is to go to the top people, send them an email, get in their DMs, reach out to them, send them a message, send them multiple messages, right? Keep sending them messages until they respond. Send them so many messages that it's disrespectful. They don't respond back to you. If you really want to be like that person, if you really want to have an illustrious career like that person, if you really want to be influential like this person, if you want to lead like this person, go get the information from them.
And they're your mentor. They're the person you need to be with. So what's interesting to me is who gets into like a leadership program? Because, you know, here I am. I'm a host of the Leadership School podcast. I do leadership coaching, but it was until I started the podcast that I actually believed I was a leader, because mm-hmm. I didn't take leadership programs in school. They were available, but I remember there was even like a leadership like club mm-hmm. but you had to be invited, and I wasn't invited. So that meant I wasn't a leader, like, you know, mm-hmm. and so I didn't pursue taking leadership courses because I just thought like I wasn't a leader. Like, I couldn't take those courses, which I didn't, like, this just shows how naive I was at my age and how much I lived under a rock. But I just didn't really think about, like, you should take courses for things you weren't good at. like you should learn how to do those things. I'm not like, oh, I'm passionate about these, so I should take these courses over here so I can get better at what I'm already doing, instead of like going, oh, yeah, these are the things I need to learn. I should take classes on that. So, I mean, are you getting in students who are already like, I want to be a leader, and so that's why they're taking leadership courses? Or are these like students who are like, encourage, you need to grow in your leadership, so you should take these leadership courses and get a leadership minor? Like, how are we getting even into these programs? Because if you're like me, I wouldn't have even done that. But I'm the person who needed them, right?
Yeah. So for faculty and staff who listen to this, I believe leadership studies should be UNIV 2.0.
Yes.
That's what I believe. And there's theoretical frames to talk about like the difference between leadership development, leadership coaching, leadership programming, leadership training, leadership studies, right? So I'm not going to go into that.
I'll take us the rest of the week.
Right. Most of the students that come to my classes and they leave the class believing they're a leader, they start the class with this idea that I didn't know what to expect out of this. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what most students say. I think some are very intentional. Some are like, I want to use this minor to help me craft a resume or an experience that allows me to speak to employers after graduation. Right. That is something I highly encourage for all students to use any kind of leadership training, programming, development. The sad thing is that leadership is so translucent. I mean, that's the right word. Not,
but
anybody can say that they do it and know it just because they did some activities.
I went to a leadership training workshop one time, or I one time led my group project. Yeah.
That's what gives leadership the bad name. Mm-hmm. Is a lot of folks who just say that I was doing it, and I was doing it as a student, and I became a professional, and I did some trainings, and now I'm just this person, right? Many of these leadership professionals, even in higher education, don't have any kind of background in training. They don't even have a certification in, this is how you train people, right? And then on top of that, they don't have any background research-based, action-based, strategy-based, evidence-based information about leadership, right? The work that has been done over hundreds of years, starting in America, at least in the military, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you are a program, or if you are a student, or if you are a faculty and staff that is practicing leadership, you need to be bringing in somebody who can actually help you understand the depth of it from a organized perspective, not just me putting together, okay, well, I think we need to talk about conflict. Oh, I think we need to talk about overcoming obstacles. Oh, today, you know, it's inclusion because something racist or something sexist, homophobic happened in our community, right? Like, this is how they throw stuff together. And then all of a sudden, it's a leadership program. It has no input or output of what it actually does. I can say that because I know what our minor does. It mm-hmm. gives, it creates experiences for students to say, this is how I'm uniquely gifted and qualified to support the field. That's what most of us in our program, that's how we teach our leadership. We might have different curriculum, but we know at the end of it, when a student gets a cord or certificate or whatever in our minor, this is what they can do. And this is what they've done.
Yeah. They've already shown the experience, and they've worked through it. Yeah.
You can't do leadership in a classroom. You can't do it in a training or extracurricular 2-hour program at the end of the night. Like, those are good things. And I think I do a really good job of doing assessments in real time so that folks can leave and say, wow, I thought I was here, but this is actually where I'm at. And this is what I can do to get better. Many times when folks are doing leadership, they just bring somebody in that just knows some stuff, that's done some stuff, and then they're talking about themselves. And then it's like, what did you learn? Nothing.
And it's a journey, right? Like, you've never arrived where, like, you're the greatest leader of all time, you know? And there have been people who you could say these people are the greatest leaders of all time, but I would probably disagree with your list. Like, you might disagree with my list, you know? So we're looking at, everybody's got this different perspective, and you've got people who were great leaders, but they really failed a lot of people. Like, just because you're in a leadership role and you're leading a country or whatever, it doesn't mean that you are, like, someone to be respected and admired.
Oh, shot fire, shot fire.
Right? So you just got to be careful there. But yeah, I mean, like, it's funny as you were talking, because I was like, oh, that's totally my podcast. Because I don't have this leadership training, but I'm bringing in people because I want to learn, and we all want to learn. And it's just, you know, for those of us who aren't going to go, who aren't going to go spend a semester in school to learn some of these skills, we can give like glimpses of them here, and then people can go take that and go reach out to my guests and grow more and learn more about those topics, you know? So yeah, there's so many different things that a leader has to wade through, like you said, conflict resolution, inclusion, knowing yourself, learning how to lead the group. And so I think leadership just has, I mean, I've just noticed there's so many different parts to leadership. And if you want to be a great leader, it's like, soak up as many of them as you can, but also do the work, like go and be a leader, like be that person leading, and then find resources when you need them, you know, like through your faculty, through your professors, through your mentors.
What I don't want for folks, when they work with me or just listening to any of the work of leadership, is to make it about us, right? It's not about us. And I think the more that we make it about us, the more we get in the way of our leadership. Mm. Right. And so for folks listening, like, I want you to get into the community. Right. I want you to get into a community. Right? Like, and be intentional when you get into that community. Think about what you can contribute, like really contribute to the space to allow people to grow. We oftentimes don't think about, we think about what we can gain and how we can be served. And I think we get farther. I see students get farther, and it's evident in the projects that they do for their community when they're becoming leaders, is when they see a problem and they go to address it, what they're doing is saying, I want to be of service.
Mm, yeah. Right?
And they have to find an overseer, right? So I can't just oversee their project, because I'm the professor. I am overseeing everybody's project, essentially.
Yeah.
But when they go out there and reach out to a supervisor, reach out to maybe even I had a student who was looking at the counseling services policy around how many times a student can get therapy services, right, on a campus. And so he had to go and talk to someone who he had never met to get them to become the overseer of a project that criticizes their work.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
And so you have to have a sense of humility to even have the conversation. And so I'm not just teaching students about leadership. I'm teaching them about how to be humble and talking to professionals, right? About a problem that they notice. That is tact. That is the thing that we want to see our young professionals do when they come into the field, right? We don't want to see a professional come in and be like, I know it all. You need to change all this. Without recognizing all the things that need to go into place to actually make that change, right? And so that shift in my students' mind has changed how they do their leadership on campus and off before they graduate.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then they take that into their careers and their communities and our society. And those are incredible, incredible skills. Thank you so much. This has really been fantastic. I'm really, really grateful and just learning for myself too, you know, and it is always a journey and a process. And I'm just really grateful for your willingness to have the conversation. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on. And hey, for folks who are listening, reach out at info@doingthegoodwork. Dar Mayweather, I am here.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. If you've liked what you heard and you want some more tools and resources to help you on your journey, go check out kylakofer.com/free-stuff.